The word today is cross. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. For centuries, the cross has been a reminder of our Savior's sacrifice for us. We have this symbol on our churches, in our homes, and even made into jewelry. Hopefully, we will always be ready to share the meaning of the cross with anyone who will listen. Here from our archives, to share some words Christ spoke from the cross, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Cross.
Today, I want to give a plug to one of my fellow Christian broadcasters. He's an Egyptian, born in Egypt, and educated partly in Egypt, but he's come to the United States and he's earned degrees. Very intelligent man and a very fine Christian. And what a marvelous ministry he has. His ministry is called Leading the Way. Leading the Way. If you have a chance to get that on your shortwave or satellite or on your radio, please tune in. His last name is Yusuf, Y-O-U-S-E-F-F, Yusuf, Y-O-U-S-E-F-F. And he has written a book recently, I would say within the past year, called When the Crosses Are Gone. When the Crosses Are Gone. And he states in his book some fantastic facts. He's done a lot of research, and he has a lot of footnotes and references that you can look up everything that he's telling you about. And one of the astonishing things to me was how he pointed out that today in America, a lot of the crosses are being taken off of churches and off of different buildings that are religious in nature. And the reason they're being taken off is that someone has complained, either the ACLU or the Islams or somebody has said, that cross offends us, and we don't like it. We wish you would take it down. And believe it or not, some of the churches which are trying to communicate with the Islam people have said, well, we don't want to offend you or hurt you, so we will take the crosses down. And of course, I find that terrible. I find that very, very offensive. Why in the world would we as Christians agree to remove the cross? That just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Now, some people would say, well, the cross was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of torture and so on. Well, you know, let's look at the complete, total picture of the cross. Why do Christians want the cross to be there and are eager to have people see the cross? As a matter of fact, in our property here at our Shepherd Lutheran Church in Greendale, Wisconsin, where we minister from, this is a Lutheran church, and we're extremely proud and happy with a cross that is on our property. We have several acres of property, and we have one of the largest crosses in the Midwest of the United States. It's a freestanding cross, meaning by that it's from the ground up. We are one of the largest freestanding crosses, meaning from the ground up. It's 60 feet in the air. It's huge. There is another one, I think it's in Texas somewhere, that is even larger. But we are very proud of our cross because on this cross there is an orb, which means a large circle. It's 9 feet in diameter around this large circle, and it represents the world. And it's right on the cross itself to show that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, died upon the cross, and he died for every person in the world. That's the symbol of our cross, and we wouldn't part with that. We believe it is such a beautiful, beautiful promise to the world that this cross reminds us of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this cross does not have a body hanging on it. You know, once in a while, they call that the crucifix. And I suppose that's okay to have a cross in your home or in your office that shows the body, the corpus of Christ on it when he died upon the cross. I imagine that's okay, but it's a lot better to have an empty cross, to have a cross on which the body is no longer hanging, because Christ is no longer on the cross. Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is a living God. He is not a dead hero. He is a living God, and he lives and he rules the entire world, and our Lord Jesus Christ will return again someday. I think soon he will return again and bring to himself every person who has ever lived to divide them up. The goats, as the shepherd would separate the goats from the sheep, the goats being those who did not believe in him, do not trust in him, do not have the forgiveness of their sins because they've denied him and have refused the gift of salvation, those will be sent to hell, where Satan and those who disbelieved will reign eternally in hell, a constant death without being able to die. What a horrible, horrible end. And he will take to himself the sheep, those who have believed in him, those who call him personal Lord and Savior, those who have accepted the gift of forgiveness and claim him to be their Lord and Savior and have the gift of eternal life. He will take them to be with the Father and the Holy Spirit as they, as true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reign forever in heaven, and we will live with him forever in heaven. That's the joy of eternal life with God. Now, the cross, being the theme of our message today, was the site where Jesus, while he was dying upon the cross, spoke seven times. And I just want to review those seven times with you. You can find them in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let me give them to you. They're not all listed in order there, because the different ones of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had different things they wanted to record. And they are not all recorded by all four of them, but you can find most of them in Matthew and John, and the others are right there also in Luke and Mark. Let me give them to you in the order in which he spoke them. The first time he spoke, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was talking about those who were nailing him to the cross. He realized that they were following somebody's orders and that they were unaware that they were crucifying God, that he was the Son of God, that he was true man and God, born of the Virgin Mary when he came to this earth, and that he came to be our Savior. And he says, "Father, forgive them. They are unaware of what they are doing." You know, so often I think Christ has to intercede in our behalf and has to come before his Father and say, "Father, this child of mine, this person who believes in me is acting so inconsistent with their faith. Father, forgive them." He pleads for us, and especially when we're acting stupid and out of a lack of knowledge and out of any kind of correct belief. And so he prayed even for those who were persecuting him. The second time he spoke, he said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." To whom did he say this? He said this to the one thief that was hanging next to him upon the cross. You remember that there were three of them crucified. Jesus was in the middle. There was one of these other people on his left and one on his right. One reviled Jesus and mocked him and said, you know, all kind of evil things. And the other one was repentant and said, "Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And this was the answer that Jesus gave to him. Jesus said, "I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." He was assuring that thief upon the cross that he would be saved. Now, that's a beautiful reminder, by the way. He didn't say to the thief, "Well, you better get down off the cross and hurry up quick and be baptized." He didn't say that. He said, you will be with me. He told him, you are believing and trusting in me and coming to me for help. I will save you. I will give you eternal life. The third time Jesus spoke from the cross, it had to do with one of his beloved disciples and his mother who was at the foot of the cross. You can read about this in the Holy Scriptures. There were a number of Marys. Mary Magdalene was among them there. Mary, I think it was the wife of Cleophas. And Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus. And Jesus looks down at her and says, woman, behold your son, referring to his disciple John. And then he says to John, behold your mother. What he was doing is making sure his mom was taken care of there. And it's interesting to see how Jesus was thinking about others, not just himself. And then the fourth time Jesus spoke, I have the original language here, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which being translated means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he's referring to the fact that God the Father now is leaving, so to speak, the presence of Jesus. Jesus Christ is dying on the cross, God's Son, and he's being forsaken by the Father because he has carried with him the sins of the entire world. He is here paying the debt, the burden of our sin, and so he speaks this. The fifth time he said, I thirst. And the sixth time he said at the conclusion, it is finished, meaning that everything has been accomplished for the salvation of all people. And the seventh time, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up his spirit to the Father, died upon the cross. But he didn't stay dead. And the third day on Easter Sunday morning, he rose from the dead and lives and reigns as our eternal Lord. Don't ever be ashamed of the cross. Proudly parade the cross and hold it up for everyone to see. Let the cross of Christ be the conviction and the solemn testimony. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.